Okay, mic is started. This is the first brainstorm session for Monster Manual 9. Recording date, January 1984. I'm Jerry McAuliffe, editor, and with me is Dougal Brand, creative director.
Okay, remember, no bad ideas. This is just to get the creative juices flowing. We need to create 130 new monsters by mid-February for the art team to start making ridiculous childish doodles of. So just say what comes to mind.
Yeah, okay. This has been getting tougher with each book, not to mention that Gary's original shit was basically just drug fumes and pizza visions to begin with.
Okay, so let's start relatively simple. Walking around type humanoid dinosaurs. Maybe some of them are wizards.
Been done. They're called Sorials. They communicate with smell.
Okay, fine. I'll twist it. Walking around type humanoid dinosaurs, but they're the wingling dinosaurs, the pterodactyls.
Pterodactyls, and it's been done. Twice. Sorial's got one, and there's Aarakocra, which is another whole thing.
Okay, pass.
A flying deer that casts a human shadow. It has bird legs, and if it catches you, it just rips you up real bad.
That's Periton.
Fuck. Three guys with one set of legs and two heads and some weird nubs where extra arms should go.
Tirafeg.
Really? Okay, Christ. Skull. Skull that sits in a hole, and its body is a spring, and when you get close, the spring springs out, and the skull comes out on the spring, and it attacks you.
Gambado.
Cat with snakes growing out of its...
Displacer beast?
No. Let me finish. It's got actual snakes growing out of its neck. No illusion powers, just a cat covered in poison snakes.
Fine, that's not a displacer beast.
Yes, put it on the board.
No, it's not a displacer beast because it's a Kamada.
Jesus. Pass.
All right, my turn. Evil gnome.
Zwerf Neblin.
Evil dwarf.
Darrow.
Evil elf?
Are you even trying? You're just adding evil to the front of everything.
Evil horse?
Okay, let's try this. It's a giant snail, and where the little stalks are on a snail, it's just Morningstar swinging around all crazy.
Flail snail.
Fuck. Fuck you, Dougal. Fuck Gary Gygax.
Maybe we need to move away from animal mix-ups and humanoids. How about a coffee golem?
A what now?
A coffee golem. Moves around super fast because it's all caffeinated. When it dies, it leaves behind a pile of grounds and 1d6 flame rubies.
Well, it's not in the books. I'll put it on the maybe board.
Great. Next, how about a pencil golem? Yeah, golem made a pencil. You randomly roll to see how sharp its weapons are, and it comes in a variety of types, but you only ever see type 2.
Hang on a second.
Also, a chair golem. It has wheels on its feet, and it generally contains a giant or a rakshasa or something. This is gold. Put it down.
No, man. You're just appending golem to the shit you're looking at in the room. It's stupid.
Fine. You caught me. I think I'm getting somewhere. I can quit with the golems.
Okay, maybe a brain on little feet and it eats brains.
No, intellect devour. Okay, I got this.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Jerry Elemental. It's a flying cloud of work shirts, stained brown ties, and ratty ponytails that look ridiculous on a 40-year-old man.
Well, fuck you, Dougal. I've got one, then. It's a Dougal dragon. It breathes a cone of coffee breath and yellow tooth smell, and its treasure type is 79 Subaru Brat spray-painted black because it can't afford a real paint job.
Fuck you, Jerry. This is getting unproductive. Let's close session for now.
Fine. Let's go listen to the hot music of Action by Evelyn Champagne King, a band from this year that actually exists that we both enjoy.
Indeed. Let us.
You make many promises, and they sound so sweet. Talk like yours will knock most any girl right off the beat. When will you deliver? Words can't warm my night. Conversation's nice, but I need a man.
Welcome to Afterthought, the companion podcast to System Mastery, where every other week we get together and talk about whatever the hell we want. I'm Jeff, joined as always by your other host, John.
Hey everyone, how's it going? I can't hear you because this isn't a dialogue.
Yeah, please don't talk back to us about this.
People will think you're real crazy if you do that, so just, you know, just quietly whisper to me.
Or go ahead, it's fine. You can go ahead and just... speak out loud. Let us know how you're doing. We can hear you. It's like
if you speak loud enough.
It's like Santa.
If you believe hard and clap.
That's it. If you believe hard enough and clap, you can fit anything in your butt.
That's what I learned from Peter Pan.
That's a good lesson to pick up from Peter Pan. I learned the Rufio chant.
I learned about roofies.
I learned that the Super Nintendo game for Hook was really good.
Was it?
Really good. Yeah, it's hard as hell, but it is really good. The controls are perfect.
Perfect?
Perfection.
Great.
Yeah, so check it out sometime. The Super Nintendo adaptation of the Hook movie, which I don't even... I think I've only ever seen Hook once, and I don't remember anything about it.
You don't remember anything about Hook?
The cast, I kind of remember. Dustin Hoffman's in there. You got Julia Roberts. You got Rufio, whoever that is. He ended up being like the voice of like a whole bunch of badasses in various cartoons.
Wow, man. Dude, I think I watched Hook but several months ago.
Yeah, and how was it?
It was great. I fucking love that movie.
Good as you remember.
Yeah, man. You've got Bob Hoskins and Dustin Hoffman being gay for each other.
Oh, is Hoskins Smee in that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, now I want to watch it again.
Dude, you have to watch it.
Well, the thing that's been keeping me from watching it is I'm just not a big Julia Roberts enjoyer.
That's fine. She's very minor. She's just Tink.
I know. She's just Tink, but she's still in there. And there was something about how she had some sort of control over her character in that movie or something. I remember reading about that. It doesn't matter. I totally do want to see it.
I think, if anything, it was probably that scene where she turns big.
Oh, that might be.
And then she gets a job at a toy manufacturing place.
Wait a minute. Are we saying that she becomes big and then acts out the concept of the movie Big?
Maybe. That might be what I'm saying. You don't know. You haven't watched it.
It's a pretty good combo movie, though, wouldn't it? I can see like Julia Roberts dancing on a piano at FAO Schwartz.
Yeah, come on. You could do that.
You know, I got that movie had that scene where the two guys dance on that giant piano at FAO Schwartz. And like a year or two after Big came out, I went to go visit my grandparents who happened to live in New York at the time.
Who happened to live in FAO Schwartz.
Well, they took me to see the FAO Schwartz. And I was so disappointed because that piano that they have there, they only have like 6 keys laid out and 5 of them work. You can't play anything.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. So I was super disappointed. I think it must have broken almost immediately after the movie when people rushed there to try it.
Probably,
And they had to leave the stupid thing on the floor well after the thing was no longer on sale because of the movie.
Yes.
Otherwise, it was just a toy store. In fact, FAO Schwartz was like the worst toy store because it was completely full of crap that was labeled FAO Schwartz.
Man, I remember going in there and it was just like, it was 2 stories.
And the whole top floor is just fucking teddy bears.
Yeah, I was like, what the... this is like Santa's Workshop in that
yes.
It is all garbage toys that no one wants.
Yeah, every movie of Santa's Workshop is the same shit. It's just a whole bunch of balls and teddy bears.
And like toy soldiers and trains.
Wooden trains.
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Who is getting this stuff?
No wonder you suck so much.
Is this stuff just straight up delivered to antique stores by Santa? Is that how this works?
Yeah.
Oh, this elf has crafted a charming toy train out of Jenga tiles. Badly spray painted them. I'll give this to little Bobby's father, who runs a knick-knack store. Someone will recycle it into a bird bath or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. Anyway, this is the Afterthought Podcast, where we get together and talk about the last episode of System Mastery we did, and then we discuss questions from the listeners when we're not too busy having extended riff sessions about Hook and FAO Schwartz.
Now, before the year, we had our little contest. So
that's right. People had to retweet the one episode.
The Afterthought episode.
I don't even remember which one we had them retweet.
Oh, it was our Afterthought episode that was... it
followed Nightlife, I want to say?
Probably.
Something. Either Nightlife or the cyber world.
Something.
But anyway, we said if you retweet this one, we'll enter you into a contest.
And boy howdy, we did. And there was... there's a good few, many of you.
Yeah, I'm glad it was under 100, because what we learned after the fact is that it's really hard to see the list of people who have retweeted you on Twitter.
Yeah, if you go above a certain number, it just stops wanting to do it.
Yeah, it's above 25 normally, and then you can use programs to see up to 100, but that's it.
Yeah.
So if you ever see one of those, retweet this for a chance to win a Nintendo or whatever, if it's over 100 already, don't bother.
Yeah. Unless they've got their own tracking program, then... they're just like, yeah, whatever.
Luckily, ours was under 100, and we have a winner.
Yep. So it is William Coburn at Will Hear You. So you won. You're going to get our signed copy of Immortal. And we will, if we haven't already gotten in touch, we will be in touch very shortly. And we'll find out where we need to mail that to. And then we will get that out to you.
Oh, yeah. That's what's going to happen. So congratulations. We'll do that again at some point. We don't have that many duplicate books around.
No, not that many.
But, you know, we do want to clear them out. So at some point, we will do that contest again. Retweet and win one of the garbage books that you already mailed to us.
Hey, maybe you can get one of Jeff's copies of Heroes Unlimited that fell into a sewer.
I do have that. And then I went and got it.
Yeah, because that's not something you just let Pennywise have.
I have three copies of Heroes Unlimited. I have the new one. I have a wet copy of the new one that's been gross and disgusting for, oh gosh, 9 years now. And then I have a copy of the old one sitting around somewhere. But yeah, one of my copies fell down a storm drain, and I was like, well, I'll be fucked if I'm losing a copy of Heroes Unlimited. So I pulled the thing off and went down there and got it.
Whereas my copy is a special limited edition hardbound gold leaf signed by everyone at Palladium Edition.
Ooh.
Yeah, baby.
How many times have you dropped it down a storm drain?
Zero.
Man, that's, we got to fix that.
Oh, hold on. That's not authentic if you don't do that.
That's a correctable problem.
So there you go. So we got our winner for that. Our game for this past week was Babylon 5.
I'm sorry, it was not Babylon 5.
Oh, that's correct. It was the Babylon Project, role-playing game set in the
Babylon 5
universe, a Warner Brothers television series created by J. Michael Straczynski.
There's the full title.
There we go.
That's what I wanted.
That's what Papa wants.
Otherwise, who knows what the hell we're talking about?
Man. So, a lot of you have a lot of opinions about Babylon 5.
That is going to be another Stormbringer moment for us. That's what's going to happen.
The hatred that one of us didn't watch it at all and the other one was sort of meh about it was met with vitriol.
It's hilarious. Honestly, though, most people have been charming about it. Most people, it's not like Stormbringer where it popped up on some forum of people who had never heard of us and just turned into a pinata of an episode. It's all the response we've heard is from listeners. So they're all like, oh, you guys are great, but you couldn't be more wrong about Babylon 5.
You really need to give Babylon 5 a chance.
I was trying. It was taken off Netflix before I could finish watching it. Maybe it got real good after I finished watching it.
Maybe.
But most
people have said that season 1 is kind of bad.
Yeah, and I watched halfway through season 2 or so. I mean, I was pretty much fast-forwarding through season 1. It was boring and terrible. I can't stop. I can't stop. I can't be nice.
Sorry, people who like a thing. We don't like things.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying. I watched some of season 2, and then it was like, I'm Elric, the techno mage. And I was like, nope, I'm out.
Well,
I have a hard and fast rule. I don't like guys named Elric.
And we are done here.
I find them distasteful.
Sir.
So, I don't know. I'll give it a try at some point. I promise. Because I get real bored and Lord knows I've watched worse things.
Yeah.
I've watched all of Lex.
Wow. I don't think I managed to make it through the first episode of Lex.
That guy has the dumbest haircut in TV.
Good Lord. That was just, ooh, it was abominable.
He looks like he has a decorative pillow on his head.
So, there you go. Most of the comments were mostly just that we were wrong about Babylon 5.
A lot of people were like, yeah, the game's really bad, but the show's really good.
Yeah.
I thought the interesting thing about that game, for me at least, was that you could tell there was some contract issue where they weren't allowed to say anything other than it was based on the, like, they could mention the name of the space station, and that was basically all they, and the races, and then they were done. Like, the words Captain John Sheridan are never in there.
No.
Nor is Jakar or Londo Malari or Delenn or...
No, they don't give you, like, stats for anyone that you know of.
Not even descriptions. There's not even, like, the guy in charge of Babylon 5 is Captain John Sheridan. They weren't, for whatever reason, I think it's probably because the book was being written at the same time that the show was being generated. Like, made.
Well, yeah.
A lot of the stuff that
this one
being,
came out, I think I said, at, like, season 3, basically.
But it had been being written before the show was even available. So they were like, we can't have the names of the characters in this because they're subject to change.
Yeah.
So I think that must be what happened. But it's a weird book because it feels, it's like that Starfleet book.
Yeah.
Where some weird contract thing happened and what they were allowed to make a game of was The Leftovers.
Stuff that doesn't have a proper name.
I mean, granted, the fact that the Starfleet book is super bad doesn't mean that the universe in which it exists doesn't sound really awesome.
I mean, it's terrible as well.
No, it sounds cool. There's even a video game based on it that is apparently quite good. Like, there's a video game out there where you can play as the dumbass races of the Starfleet universe.
Oh, good.
And people have described it as a lot of fun. I think probably because a video game does all the impossible stupid math for you.
People have described it as a video game.
Peter Travers of Rolling Stone says...
Tour de force.
That's a Bart.
Toe to tip. So there you go. We didn't really have a ton else to say on there. As I said, most people were just sort of complaining about our treatment of the show, which meh.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's just like Stormbringer. The times where we don't consume the media that the thing is based on in advance are always the most like hairy for us. Because we don't know whether or not there's some sort of huge fan upswell for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, anytime you get into any nerd media,
yeah,
you know someone is way into it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. But I mean, neither of us had read any Moorcock books. So this is the same thing. We got our impression of what the world of Babylon 5 is like from this book. And this book made it into kind of a boring place.
Even then, I was like, oh, that's a place you could be. That's fine. But I know nothing about the show, so it's not like I can compare it to anything.
That's true. So, you know, honestly, I didn't find the show that terrible. Generally, my primary complaint about the show is that it's weird that of all the main characters on the show, all of them turn out to be like messiahs and prophets.
Well, yeah.
Like every single, it's just like The Next Generation in that way, where like, if you look at the arcs of the characters on TNG or DS9, a surprising number of nascent gods work on board that one ship.
What are you talking about, man? It's just Wesley.
No, we also got the Sisko.
Well, not on TNG.
I know. On DS9, you have the Sisko, who turns out to be the Sisko.
He is the Sisko.
Then you got, what's his face? The Bashir, who turns out to be like some sort of genetically engineered super messiah. You have, or not messiah, I guess, just genetically engineered guy.
Yeah.
And then you've got O'Brien, who spends 20 years in like time prison.
Man, that was a fucked up episode.
Every episode that's about O'Brien is a fucked up episode.
The universe loves to dick over O'Brien.
Honestly, I would, if they were to ever make more Star Trek, and I know they are, I know, but if they were to make more Star Trek that wasn't whatever that new thing is.
Prequel Star Trek?
Prequel Trek, yeah. It's set right after Enterprise, I want to say.
Okay.
I think it's supposed to be set concurrent with the original series. Or in that range. No, I think, I don't remember. Well, whatever. Who cares? I just know that the main character is supposed to just be named number one.
Are they a villain? Are they a villain number one? Have they caught a superhero on the run?
Yes, she is number one. She has this net that she has found.
When she says go, be ready to throw.
Yeah. Oh, God. There you go. There you go, 10 people who know what that is.
Hello, memesters.
So I would like to watch just a series of O'Brien gets fucked with the show. Just find Cole Meany.
Just sad sack Cole Meany forever.
Come on, Cole Meany's not busy, or unless he's dead.
Unless he is dead or otherwise.
He's in that Con Air, isn't he?
Yeah, he was in Con Air.
Yeah, he works. We can get him more work. We'll get him back and have just the universe hates O'Brien.
Yeah, everybody hates O'Brien. It's our new show.
We'll have him narrate it. And at this point is when Kiko left me.
Well, we'll just do it as O'Brien's childhood, and so Cole Meany narrates it, but then we get a young kid.
It's just the Wonder Years.
It's just everybody hates Chris, but it's O'Brien.
Everybody hates O'Brien.
There you go. There's our new Trek show, everyone.
Let us know if you would like to see our new Trek show. We've got so many ideas.
So many episodes lined up.
You want to answer some questions?
Let's do that.
From listeners?
We've got so many questions.
I'll kick it off this time, if you don't mind.
All right.
Okay, first question comes to us from Tracy.
Yeah, from Tresemme.
Tressy? I forget.
Tracy.
He included a pronunciation guide, which I did not include in the list of questions.
Yeah, no, the pronunciation is Tracy or Tresemme.
Okay, so it's Tresemme. And Tracy says, I recently discovered a heartwarming Star Wars extended universe tale of Ho-Haas and Piggy, and was hoping you had additional stories to share. He then included a link to what I'm pretty sure is a fanfic or something about like a horse in Star Wars. Like a horse head man, you know, like how there's that wolf in the cantina.
You know, like Bojack.
Like Bojack, like a Bojack-style horseman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't have time to read that yet, but I figured I'd just use this as an excuse to talk about the Star Wars Expanded Universe, which is no longer canon.
Uh-huh.
And so do you have any favorite stories in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, John?
Nope.
Why not?
Because I've never read any of it, I don't care to.
So here's the thing. I've been trying for a couple of days now to convince John that we should read Shadows of the Empire and discuss it on air. I think we should probably do it episodic, like do a couple chapters at a time. A couple chapters at a time. So not very big, but a couple chapters at a time and get through Shadows of the Empire, a huge event in Star Wars Expanded Universe nonsense. It's set between episodes 2 and 3. Between episodes 5 and 6.
Hey now.
Hey, I gotcha. And it had like a video game release and a novel and a comic series and a bunch of toys and all this shit that would happen at once. And it was this huge deal. Anyway, my brother asked me if I would be willing to get us to cover it on the air. And I've been needling at John for weeks now. I'm going to break him. Thing is, I don't know if I can break him alone. I need the listeners to help me on this. So
I need you to believe and clap.
So, folks, if you want us to do Star Wars Expanded Universe episodes, we'll make it a Patreon thing. And everyone bother John. Just bother him like crazy. You can find his Twitter handle. It's out there. He's commented on our episodes before. Or you can just tweet at System Master directly and let him know, John, you guys have to cover Expanded Universe stuff.
Ugh.
John, do it.
Ugh.
John, we got to do it.
Ugh.
See, this is crowdsourcing. The only way we can strike him is through the wallet, I'm pretty sure. So we'll get this done. We're going to make it happen. Incidentally, my personal favorite of the dumbass shit that occurs in the Expanded Universe is Vonda McIntyre's The Crystal Star, which I promise you, folks, if we get through Shadows of the Empire, will be the next book I make John read.
I remember the only real Expanded Universe thing I had. So I think at one point I listened to a book on tape of one of them, and it was whatever happened right after episode 6.
You were probably listening to, that would be the one
it was
where
like Luke goes evil.
Oh, that's no okay. That's based on an early book.
He like finds the Emperor's
glove or something.
It was the like some logs from the Emperor that's like, here's how you use the Force, and he was like, oh shit, I could be badass.
Yeah, that's based on the Dark Horse comic book series.
Oh, okay.
That's not a terrible thing to start with. It's actually pretty good. The real thing that happens right after Return of the Jedi is that a guy named Princess Solda shows up, and Han gets jealous of this happening with Leia, and he shoots Leia with a mind control gun, and then runs off to a planet where witches ride around on what they call rancors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first book that happens at that point.
Well, sir,
everything is bullshit in the Expanded Universe, and folks, help me make John read all of it.
Oh, god damn it.
We're doing it. Anyway, yeah, Vonda McIntyre's Crystal Star is my favorite, where a fat blob of goop and nastiness is worshipped as a god on some stupid like satellite thing, and it's just the dumbest thing in the world.
Great.
Yeah. There's also a whole adventure starring Lando Calrissian, R2-D2, and Lobot. And they have to solve the puzzle of an ancient alien spaceship. See? There's so many of these.
Wow. God.
I'm telling you, man, it's the best thing we could ever do. We need to jump on that Star Wars train, dog.
That
train is leaving the station. It's a new century. All right. Well, let's move on.
Okay, this one comes to us from the Mad Wobbler. Dear Hustler, I never thought this would happen to me. I'm a tall, leggy blonde with double D tits and a great ass living in Miami. One day I was in my apartment in a little black dress, full makeup, and heels, bending over to put dishes in the dishwasher, as you do.
I don't have a dishwasher, but okay, sure, yeah, I'm willing to go along with it.
When all of a sudden, I hear a knock on the door. It was these two totally hunky pizza delivery dudes, and I'm all, oh my god, I didn't even order a pizza. But it was such a hot day, I just had to let them come in for some AC and a nice glass of sweet tea. But clumsy me, I trip and accidentally pour tea all over them. So of course, good host that I am, I get them out of those wet clothes and throw them in the wash. Now, two strapping gentlemen in my home with their skivvies while I'm there in my dress? That just won't do. Such an embarrassing predicament for them. So, of course, I get rid of my dress, and we get to chatting, and then a little more chatting, and it's shaping up to be an interesting afternoon.
Does seem like one.
Then suddenly, these dinosaurs burst through my wall, shooting lasers everywhere and trampling my guests, before just charging through the far wall. Do you have any tips for properly equipping myself for my roaring rampage of revenge against the Miami Lazeratops herds. Sincerely, Miffed in Miami.
Well, I need some questions and answers here, John. If you can finish.
You need both questions and answers?
I'm gonna take the role of, let's see, it's Hustler. I'm going to take the role of the Hustler editor-in-chief now.
Of Hustler Prime.
For the most part, I find this unbelievable. How's my Larry Flint?
I don't know.
Is it okay? So, I'm trying to do a good
trying
Larry.
Real hard.
You know what? I'm just going to assume that Larry Flint at this point had passed off the editing of the magazine to someone else, and it's fine. I'm just going to go with the current editor of Hustler in chief.
Yeah, in chief.
Okay, so I find your story titillating at first, but there's a lot of things I need to kind of convey believability and understanding to our diverse and erudite readership pool. So if I could ask you a couple of follow-up questions to really sort of drive home the story and kind of sharpen out and flesh out the details, if you will. Are you ready for me? Can I ask you a couple?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, here we go. First question. What color? You're a blonde, but these two fellas.
Yeah.
Can you give me a little more description of their hair? What do we got there?
Brown, tousled.
Tousled brown, okay.
They've got sort of short, a little bit in their eyes.
Okay, I'm waiting for a chest hair situation from you here. That's really going to be important to me.
Bristly.
Bristly? Okay, good. Can we say one bristly and one almost Greek?
Almost Greek in its Greekiness.
Its majesty.
In its bushosity.
Okay, perfect. Now, second question. You say dinosaurs with lasers come bursting through the walls. Now, I have a question about this. How are the dinosaurs manipulating lasers? Like, what type of laser-wielding dinosaur are we talking here?
Side of the head.
So, attached to the side of the head.
Yeah.
Like, so they have. So, are these anthropomorphic dinosaurs or
no.
Robots?
Regular dinosaurs, but with weapons on them.
Okay. Are there riders? Are there people associated with them that are there?
They do carry some saddles on them, mm-hmm. but they can laser around without them.
So what we're talking, so of the various pantheons of laser equipped dinosaurs, we're more on the lines of like dino riders than we
yes.
are say the Dinobots or
exactly
the rampaging dinosaurs that had their own cartoon show for a while.
Yes.
So it's dino riders. Okay, great. So the villains of the dino riders, if I remember correctly, were called like the evil Predamens or something. I really don't remember. And they primarily worked as a villain force by having a T-Rex. So I'm going to give you the first bit of strapping advice, which is that you're going to need a T-Rex.
You're going to need at least one T-Rex.
Especially if you're fighting Lazeratopses, what you're going to want to do is take a Tyrannosaurus Rex and turn it into a Plasmasaurus Rex. That's going to be your weapon of choice that you're going to need to hunt them.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that you're buxom. That's good. We can work with that. So you're going to need to get yourself like a Red Sonja outfit. And I think that's about all I can really do for you here.
There you go. Done.
Set. Can we move on?
We are done.
Next question comes to us from Aaron Weisbruka. You think?
Maybe.
Weisbruka?
Or Weisbruk.
Weisbruk. I don't know. Whatever. You folks find out. Bother him in real life until you figure out how to pronounce his name and then report back to us.
Aaron.
I've got some meaty questions for you to start off the new thread, because we had to start a new Afterthought thread. Apparently, Reddit threads can expire.
Yeah, man. We should just have one for every Afterthought.
That would be a lot easier. Well,
wouldn't it?
Hit or miss. Okay. Meaty Afterthought questions for you to start off your new thread. In a recent Afterthought, you mentioned Greg Stolze and how you've not reviewed any of his stuff because it's too good. While this is true, you have reviewed good games in the past, like Exalted and Legend of the Five Rings. We've reviewed good ideas for games.
Like, I don't know that I'd go that far as to call those good games.
I didn't much care for Legend of the Five Rings when I was reading through it. We did L5R because that was like our fifth or sixth episode or something, and our options were limited back then. We didn't have a horde of...
That was one that Brian owned.
Yeah, we didn't have a horde of listeners mailing us stuff or a Patreon or anything. We started the show because I had a copy of Heroes Unlimited and the Batman RPG.
Yeah, man, we found... a copy of what a Marvel role playing the Phase Rip.
Yeah, that we had. So back then we didn't have a lot of options. I don't know if L5R would have made our list normally. Probably. Eventually.
Oh yeah.
So let's see here. Let's finish off the question. You have reviewed good games in the past, like Exalted and Legend of the Five Rings. What about reviewing something like Unknown Armies Second Edition, seeing as the third edition is on the horizon? Or if you want to go more obscure, maybe Rain.
Rain, I am not super familiar with. I know it has a lot of really good Kingdom building rules is mostly the big thing with Rain.
Yeah.
A lot of people have wanted to take those and just put them in Exalted because Exalted's rules for how you actually go about running the kingdom you took over is kind of garbage.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what it is. I hear the term and all I can think of is that Peter Chung, Alexander the Great show that was on for a while. Do you have no idea what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you know
about.
Who Peter Chung is?
No, I have no idea.
All right, I'll flip through Peter Chung's backstory for you real quick. He is the weirdo animator that made Aeon Flux.
Oh, okay.
There you go. That's there all you need. So Rain is the same shit. People with wearing weird diapery bathing suits with gazelle-length necks and and weird interest in pants just running around being weird at each other.
Yeah.
It's that, but it's supposed to be the Alexander the Great story.
Great.
Yeah.
Unknown Armies... Man, if we did that one, that would be one of those ones where people have opinions about it.
Well, the thing is, I've read it and I like it. So I don't think the people's opinions might be that they don't like you, but they like me. It's it's a super popular game, but I find it particularly interesting. To give you a rundown of what Unknown Armies is, if you've never heard of it, you play as wizards in a world where magic comes from obsession.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be a wizard.
Well, but but that's the fun.
Yeah, you could be an avatar.
Yeah, oh, that's right. You can be the inherent, like an elemental of a various concept or something, like an avatar, exactly like John was saying. Or the various types of mancers, which are people who are like, I draw power through drinking, or I draw power through risk-taking.
Or I draw power through hoarding.
Yeah. The weird thing about it is a lot of the character classes don't feel like they make any sense as character classes.
No.
Because you have to be like, all right, my character's 100% obsessed with watching the same porno over and over again. Why would I go on an adventure?
Yeah. Well, it's because there's someone who's threatening your various magical powers or whatever.
Yeah. But beyond that, it's a really interesting idea that seems to work really well. It also leads to endless forum discussions.
Yes.
Anytime anyone mentions it, people are like, well, you could probably make up a democracy-omancer or a capitalism-omancer.
Well, the big thing is always also, like, everything in the world has this weird mystical thing when you look at it, like, long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting and weird.
It's the Godwiniest game I've ever seen discussed. Is the because people are always trying to figure out like math out how to get the charges, which are your spell power in the game, and it's always like, oh, you have to own this rare thing or find or act like this one weird guy. Like I've never seen a game that spawns more discussions that end in Hitler than Unknown Armies ever has. Which isn't to say it isn't a great game. It is. It's just it seems to engender a lot of terrible discussion on the internet. So there you go. We'd probably cover them. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't, beyond just our huge backlog of weirder stuff.
Meh.
All right. Speaking of Stolzy, question or recommendation for John. Since your genre of choice is superheroes, have you ever checked out Wild Talents or its predecessor, Godlike?
We actually have Godlike on the shelf.
Yeah, we have yet to dig into Godlike. I have I don't do anything famously.
No.
But I have mixed it up with Godbound in the past.
Yes.
But we do have a copy of Godlike and some supplementary material for it as well. One of these days we're going to get to it and cover it. I don't think John's read either of those, though.
No. When I first looked at Wild Talents, I was like, oh, is that? And then I realized I was mixing it up with Wild Cards, which is the old George R. R. Martin superhero weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
They made it for GURPS as well. But Wild Talents, no, I haven't even heard of that one, so I will check that out.
There we go. In your Babylon Project review, you said you weren't even bothering to mention the rules for space combat because they were garbage. Would you be willing to comment on them here? I've read a lot of sci-fi games, and having terrible rules for space combat is kind of a common thread. Are there any games you know of that do it well? I didn't say that. I think John said that, so I'm throwing John under the bus on this one.
Well, thing is, they don't really have a lot of rules for space combat in the book. Pretty much everything is you would just fire the same way you would in anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's all works the same way, but you have to like pilot to try and get out of the way, or you have shields that will absorb things like armor would. It's
so
just
very basic.
It's pretty much just they didn't change a lot for space combat as opposed to just regular combat, which honestly is better than the games that are like, all right, so you've got this entire rules on how you fight normally. Now throw all of that away. Here's how you fight in a vehicle. You're like, I don't want to learn an entire new set of rules.
Yeah, especially because they're always more complicated for no fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always like, if you're going 70 miles an hour, then in order to do a turn of 40 degrees, you'll need to roll. And I'm like, I don't care.
Well,
I just don't care.
At least not in space. I mean,
no.
In that case, you're going to get even worse stuff. Like, your rotation is independent of your momentum.
Yeah, the people who want more realistic vehicle combat, I know there are a lot of people that love it. It's something that annoys me unless it's specifically what you're doing. If the whole thing is space combat, great, go for it. But if you're like, 90% of this book is given towards dudes punching each other, and then here's an entire new rules for doing something else, I'm like, eh.
So let's throw out some awards here. Who does it well? I'm gonna throw out two real quick.
Okay, obviously Rifts.
Yes, of course.
Number one.
Yeah, they're not just Rifts specifically, but I'm gonna say their old Macross line of games. You play as the Zentradi or those Macross fighters.
So good.
Yeah,
that you get into that Phase World book.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that Anvil Galaxy stuff. Yeah,
oh, that is spicy.
That's a tasty vintage. No, I was gonna say the car rules in Feng Shui are really, really good, and so they could translate to space combat real easily with just the minorest of tweaks. And I'm also gonna throw out a dumb reference to Spelljammer, which does ship-to-ship combat by saying space doesn't really matter and you can breathe in it and don't worry about it and just shoot arrows at the other ship, you ranger. That is my favorite.
Yeah.
I love that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to throw those out. You got any you like?
Not really.
Right.
Nothing comes to mind. Anything simple.
All right. You're probably going to like this last question here because it's actually very specifically for you and
Yay.
It is something you can't just say. You don't have to just say, no, I haven't read that too. Here we go. Sliders question for John.
Woo!
White Castle or the kind that you can get in restaurants?
Restaurants, obviously.
All right. Do you agree with the fan theory that the professor was replaced with his own double in post-traumatic slide syndrome, which would technically make him the only character from the original cast who doesn't end up falling into some terrible, stupid ending? Also, what's the best Sliders episode?
I tend to disagree with the fan theory on that. If the professor from the almost San Francisco that they went to in that episode actually went with them, it would become apparent fairly quickly, because while he would have most of the professor's normal world knowledge, he wouldn't really have a lot of their slide knowledge. I know that he ended up, like, they had a book that they released, and so he got some of the information from that. But I feel like it would be much more apparent, and the rapport between everyone would be different if the professor had been replaced.
See, I have no idea what any of this is, so I'm picturing the character of the professor from the daily syndicated comic strip Shoe. You know, the one about birds that live in a tree and are journalists or something?
Yeah, you know that one.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that fat, dumb professor character. That's who I'm thinking this is.
Great. No, so it's John Rhys Davies.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't remember who that is, so
You don't remember who Gimli is?
No, I'm kidding. I do remember who he is. I was just going to go to Jonathan Rhys-Meyers as my person who I thought you were talking about. Anyway, I the whole time I've been just making up a theme song for Sliders in my head because I don't know what it is. Here's how mine goes. Tell me what you think.
Hold on.
All right. Sliding around at the speed of sound. We've got to go, got to jump through that portal.
Great. That's excellent.
Was that pretty good?
That's way better than just some noodly nonsense. And then at the very end, sliders.
Well, mine still ends with sliders.
It's that whole song. And then at the end, just sliders.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to finish.
You didn't let me finish.
last question.
So hold on. The best episode of Sliders, though, ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to say my favorite episode of Sliders is, I'm going to go with, what the hell's the name of it? I can't remember the name of the episode, but I really like the one where Remy is basically their equivalent of Elvis, then they also mistake Cue Ball for Jim Morrison and the professor for Pavarotti.
Okay, I think that one's called, and going off my extensive knowledge of Sliders here.
Let me get it.
I think that one's called, I'm like an IMDb trivia page when it comes to Sliders history. It's from the second season, it's episode 18, and it's called Save the Last Dance for the Devil, Part 2, Miami Heat.
Yeah, good, you did it.
Is that it?
You got it. Got it in one.
Okay.
All right.
Sure. Finally, what is the best shaped dice?
Best shaped dice? You know, I like a good D6. Like a cube.
You like a
nice simple
cube? Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, without question, the worst is the D4.
Oh, yeah. D4 is garbage.
Deeply unsatisfying to roll, and you can't stack it for shit. It's just a bad die. I'm going to say my favorite shaped die is the D8, which is a shame because you never really get to use it.
Yeah, I like it. I like the D8. It's got a good surface area to it.
Yeah. It's a shame that it never really shows up and it's not important. The D12 is just a shit D20. The D10 is barely even in the running because it's a non-platonic solid. I mean, get out with that nonsense. No, and the D20 is too much like a ball.
Yeah.
So that leaves the reasonable D6 and D8, which both have...
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable. They have a reasonable amount of face surface for each side.
Yeah, stackable.
Yeah, you can stand on them without hurting yourself. You can stack them. You can easily
stack them to the heavens.
Yeah, they're the good two dice.
Okay, so next up we've got Pawn Dreams asks, when you're teaching a game, any genre, how do you make sure everyone is following along and or engaged? You don't. I mean,
that's
their
fault.
If I'm being honest, when you're teaching a game, if it's not a game that the people you're teaching it to particularly give a shit about, you're not going to be able to get them.
Yeah.
Like when I'm teaching a Euro game to Jeff, he is going to zone out and not know what the fuck I've said.
Yeah, because I don't need to know. Oh, is it my turn? I will choose one of these three resources and put a little cube on the piece of cardboard in front of me. There, and then 15 to 45 minutes later, I will learn that I have lost.
Yeah, you will learn you lost because you didn't pay attention when I was telling you things. Piece of shit.
I hate Euro games and I don't mind saying it.
You have a bad opinion about board games.
Oh, I'm choosing the military build option. That means I've got more red discs of cardboard in front of me. This is so involved. Ugh. I really do feel that I am conquering the Alps / Space Rome.
Yes, I'm conquering the Alps of Space Rome.
No, it's either one because it's the same fucking game either way.
You're only about theme. You don't care about the substance.
No, I'm about interactivity. I don't like games where the most interactivity you get in the game is the person next to you seeing what you pick and going, interesting. Yes. And that's it. I like games where you have to talk and create and so on. I know it means I don't like serious business board games, but I prefer games that have a lot more flow and play in them.
Okay. That's right. Fine.
Are we good?
Yeah.
We're good? Fine. That's why you can't teach me to play a Euro game. It's true. The only way I can teach people to play things is to literally do it on mic. Because then they have to pay attention because they have to play the game right now. That's the only way I can do it. Otherwise, if I sense people are losing interest, I'm too friendly and malleable. So if I'm starting to play, I'm like, all right, guys, this is how you play Heroes Unlimited. And, oh, you guys aren't interested. Let's play Mario Kart. That's how it works.
See, when I'm trying to explain a game, I'll give you the basic rundown of how things work and then explain as I go as well.
Yeah.
Because if there's any specific rules, then I'll try and let you know about that. Or also let people know, if it's like a board game, let them know, here's some certain strategies that people use to try and win, because I don't want you to just go in there blind. But yeah, if they aren't paying attention, find out why. If it's just because they're looking at their phone, give them a second. Maybe there's something they got to do. Who knows?
Yeah. All right, so here we go. A question from Havoc4, who says, Dear Systemic Mysteries, in the recent Nightlife review, you mentioned how you enjoyed the weirder monsters available to play. So I was wondering what monsters, mythological creatures, or cryptids you think would make for a fun primary focus of a game. So playable character monsters, effectively. Additionally, what creatures do you feel are poorly suited for playing in an RPG? Let's see. One thing that I thought would be rad would be the Greek Furies, and similar specters of vengeance. For a second, I thought it said Greek furries.
Yeah, Greek furries.
I was like, buddy, all they got to do is put on the mask.
Oh.
I am being stereotypical against the Mediterranean hairy people.
The great haired Mediterranean. Actually, you know what? I would say furies is probably one of the ones I would say I aren't suited for an RPG. Because it's, when you're just dealing with vengeance, then it's not a lot of player input on what goes on. You're like, oh, what do you do? I mostly just show up and kill a guy when he did something stupid.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem you get with, I mean, especially when you look at superheroes that have that vengeance theme.
Yeah, when you're looking at Ghost Rider.
Or the Spectre.
Yeah.
And they have the exact same storyline. A guy does something bad. An implacable superhero with no weaknesses shows up and punches them. The end.
Yeah. It's just, like, I would say what would be fun is if we did, like, Sasquatches.
And
do it like World of Darkness style. So you got Sasquatch, you got Yeti, you got Bigfoot, you
Old
got
Man
Skunk Ape.
I can see that.
And you take those.
What are we calling this, by the way? Is it Abominable?
Yeah, Abominable the Cryptid.
Abominable the Crypting. The Cryptiding.
Yeah, and so I would have them. That would be great. Because the big thing with that is you'd want to not be able to be seen by stuff, but you'd also have like different abilities or like snow-based power if you're a Yeti.
Okay.
Or you'd have like super strength or speed or hunting capabilities, whatever it happened to be.
I'm just going to go with my favorite monster of all time and say that I'd like to see a game where you play as a party of flumps.
Party of Flumps. I remember that show.
Yeah, like a lot of people from that show ended up getting way more famous.
Yeah.
That's like where Jessica Biel got started.
what was that? Didn't that Jennifer Love Hewitt on that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then she ended up on like the Ghost Whisperer or something.
Yeah.
But for a while there, she had to wear a Flumph costume and just float around like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Flumps are this thing from the D&D first edition Fiend Folio, which basically look like flying dinner plates with spaghetti hanging off the bottom and eyes on top.
Yep.
They are notable because they are just goofy, stupid little monsters that just seem to like exploring their environment and trading with people. And they are, as a race, lawful good.
Yeah, weird.
They're all good guys. They're little floating eyeball friendly guys. And I've always thought it'd be great to play a party of them that have to go into a dungeon and accomplish something. And they're just bouncing off each other like bumper cars and just goofing around. Just doodling about because they haven't really got the tools it takes.
Uh-huh.
So that's my choice.
All right.
And then for something that would not work, creatures that are poorly suited for playing in RPGs, I'm going to say, I don't know. It's off the top of my head here. I'm going to say dark elves. I'm sick of it. Stop it with the dark elves.
No more drow.
All of them are evil except for the thousands of PCs. Also, every story about any one of them ever told is about a good one. So, yeah. Enough. Enough with the dark elves. Also, give up on ever seeing one of them in a movie, because it will be racist no matter what you do. All right, so let's see. I think that pushes it to you.
All right. From Gaming Hipster.
Oh, wait, maybe I should ask this one.
Dear Trist Valentine and company, I really, really want to shave a Wookiee. That's not any sort of euphemism. I just really want to see what they look like under all that fur. This desire has grown so much that it's taken on a, let's say, fetishistic aspect for me. It's all I can think about. And I've started making Wookiee noises during sex, which has driven away my last few partners. I've decided I just need to find a Wookiee prostitute who's willing to do this for enough credits, but it turns out there isn't a lot of demand for Wookiee prostitutes. Do you know where I can find one, apart from Kashyyyk? I'm afraid I wouldn't be very well received there, and I might not be able to control myself if I were completely surrounded by... Okay, I gotta go. Your thoughts are appreciated. Love, Barbarous on Bespin.
Man, you're on Bespin? How are you not dead? Do you mean you're on the cloud city surrounding Bespin? Because that seems to be the situation by which you could be alive in that.
Well, I mean, technically, I would say that you're on Bespin at that point.
No, you're not on Bespin. You're hovering above Bespin. Bespin's a terrifying gas giant.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, at what point in the gas are you on Bespin then?
I assume you are dead long before. At what point would you say that you're on Jupiter?
I mean, if you get to above it, if I'm able to mine gas from it, I'd say I'm on Jupiter.
I'd say you're orbiting Jupiter, sure.
I'd say you suck.
No, really, I want to completely abandon this guy's question entirely and have a long, careful argument about what constitutes being on a gas giant.
Yeah, I'd say if you're within the atmosphere.
I think they're above, well, they're not above the atmosphere because Luke can breathe.
Yeah.
All right, fine, whatever.
There you go.
All right, so did you want to take this question?
Yeah, sure. This is for Trist.
Yeah.
So I would say that we would need you to take back the means of production, and then you can have capitalism be destroyed, and then all you have to lose is your Wookiee hair.
Inglorious workers' paradise, there will be no prostitution. And I have finally figured out how to do Lennox's voice.
Yeah, good. It's very good. Is much communist.
There you go.
And there you have it.
An answer to a question. No one can say it isn't. All right, let's see here. I'm going to skip down just a bit. We're going to do one more question for Gaming Hipster real quick. Now that you've been made aware of the Centauri's 6 prehensile penises, has your opinion of the Babylon 5 IP changed at all? Yes, now I hate it more.
Now I'm more interested.
All right, fair enough. I did not know that because it didn't come up in the first like 12,
hey,
however many episodes of the show there were. But since people have started commenting on the episode, they've let us know that their Centauri aren't just fat little vampire men with dumb wigs, but they also have tentacle dicks, and the women have 6 vaginas that like ride up the side of them like USB slots. There's even an episode, apparently, where Londo tells a story about playing cards and someone sets a cold drink down on his dick, one of his six dicks, while he's trying to cheat with it.
Huh.
The whole thing, it's very, these guys are clearly just fat little space vampires dressed up like the Mad Hatter. We gotta make them more interesting. We'll tell a story about how they have crazy dicks.
Crazy dicks.
It doesn't really change much for me.
There you go.
If anything, I hate it more now.
So much more.
Yeah. And people were right that if we had known about that, there's no way we wouldn't have talked about it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just that would not have slid by.
No, that definitely would have eaten up some time.
Yeah. Thankfully, it did appear to show up in the RPG we were reading. It was like, if you play as a Centauri, be aware of your prehensile dicks unless you're a woman.
Man, that would have been great if that was in the write-up for them.
Well, that would just unbalance the race. How do you play as a Centauri woman in that situation? You're giving up 6% prehensile arms.
All right. So next comes to us from Carl Prozac.
Oh, this is good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear Joff and Jen,
ugh.
Chester Balloonman, Frankenstein's dad, and a fat knife clown walk into a cheese dude's in Haven, City of Violence. The waiter, who is Michael Moorcock, serves them a single hot dog. Through the window, they can see a donkey carrying a DM's pizza on its back, being chased by Wowzers, the dog that denies the Holocaust. Also, something-something vendor at Nalabirong. Which of all your dumb in-jokes is your favorite, and which are you the most tired of? Bonus challenge round, try to explain these to new listeners without sounding stupid.
I can do that. That's not a problem. Let's see. Chester Balloonman. Chester Balloonman is a balloon enthusiast.
Yeah,
because in the Cinnabar game, it's possible to be good at skills without actually taking the skill or something. There was a reason why he was a balloon enthusiast.
Well, you get skills that aren't the main ones. They're just sort of hobbies.
Oh, no.
So you have things like knitting.
It's because there was a race in the monster manual in that game called the Ballons, which were described as goofy people that live in the sky. But they weren't balloons. They were the Ballons. And we were like, oh, so they're just balloon men? They're just weird balloon mans. Okay, Frankenstein's dad, that is... because we think it sounds like a great euphemism for alcoholism.
No, that's Frankenstein's dad's monster.
That's the Frankenstein's dad's monster. Frankenstein's dad is just a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fat knife clown, a picture on the back cover of Don't Look Back, Terror is Never Far Behind. Cheese Dudes, a restaurant we made up. Haven City of Violence, a role-playing game where we extended the way you say it, so that you have to say it for a very long time. You have to go Haven. City of Violence. Michael Moorcock. Neither of us have read anything by him, and yet we hate him somehow. Serves a single hot dog. Hot dog questions is something I started doing to John when we were driving home from game nights, where I would ask him theoretical hot dog questions, and then say I have all the answers if he only is willing to ask them.
Yeah.
The questions. So that was something that started off the show. Donkey. We consistently reference Donkey Talk, which is our sub-podcast that we only do inside of this podcast, where we briefly discuss donkeys, and the theme song is Donkey Song by Jared Michaels. I think. Might be Jared Neiman.
Jared Leto, I think.
It's Jared Leto. It's Dog Star.
Yeah.
Wait, is that? No, that's
Keanu
that's
Reeves.
Keanu Reeves' band.
It's 30 Seconds to Mars.
30 Seconds to Mars. Is it 30 Odd Feet of Grunts?
Yeah, sure.
Is that it?
Why not?
I think that's, what's his name's band? Okay. Wowzers. Wowzers is a dog that denies the Holocaust. This is based on the
Left Behind
movie that we watched starring Nicolas Cage, because after the rapture, there's some dogs walking around.
And what did that dog do to not get raptured?
Yeah, we tried to figure out what a dog could possibly do to deny being raptured, because dogs are such good boys. Yes, they are. And we decided that one denies the Holocaust. Vendor at Nalabirong, the super magic power system from the Cinnabar game universe, we decided it sounds like some kind of marsupial.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like something Australian.
Yeah, there's no way there isn't an animal walking around Australia or New Zealand called a Nalabirong.
Yeah, it's totally there.
Yeah, so that's what that is all about. So there you go, we can explain them all. What's our favorite?
Favorite of my dumb in-jokes? I mean... I really like Wowzers. It's probably the worst one, but I like it because it was hilarious at the time.
It's the one you can't bring up in polite company. That's,
no.
That's for certain.
When someone references Wowzers and someone's like, oh, what's that? You're like,
I don't want to go through the whole story of what this is. I'm going to go with Frankenstein's dad.
Yeah, I really love that one too.
I love that. It's a fun. It works with people who have never heard it before or heard the show. I've used that one at game nights and stuff where I'm just like, quit being such a Frankenstein's dad. And somehow people get what I'm saying.
You get it.
It just makes sense. It works. My least favorite, I'm pretty tired of hot dog questions.
Yeah, man. It's fucking so many hot dog questions.
I'm going to say that's probably my least favorite at this point. I loved it when it started. It's the one that had the least continuance.
The staying power.
Yeah, it had the least. It was great when it lasted. So there you go. Were you going to agree with me on that one?
Yeah. All right. So let's see. What are we at now?
Well, we're at. It's me, and I got. Yeah. So here we go. Hey, you beautiful people. This is from Apropos Penguin. Hey, you beautiful people. I'm working on a one-shot RPG about improvising an Oscar Wilde play, which I hope to finish and put on Kickstarter this year. What kinds of Kickstarter red flags should I avoid? What are the warning signs which tell you that a game will either be terrible or never get delivered? Speaking of creating games, are we ever going to be hearing more about blimpleggers anytime soon? Finally, I'm making enchiladas. Should I use corn or flour tortillas? I know corn is traditional, but so is dying of smallpox, so you're going to have to do better than that. Sure, no problem. The reason you use corn tortillas is because they swell and
thickness.
They get more expansion, they get more mouthfeel. When you cook enchiladas using flour tortillas, they either disintegrate under the weight of the sauce or they harden into not quite chips, just like ultra stale tortillas around the outside of the margins.
And even if they don't, they end up being a lot chewier.
Yeah.
So the actual way that you want to get them enchiladas in you, you're going to use corn.
Yeah.
And I love flour tortillas for basically everything else.
Yeah. The thing about the thing is, for the most part, I'd say in like 100% of the cases, give or take, we figured out the right tortilla for all situations. It's already been worked out. It's not traditional. It's actually math in just about every situation. So there you go. But to answer the real question, Kickstarter red flags.
Don't promise too much or have way too many levels of things that you can get on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start going like, oh man, we're going to have like minis and we're going to have an app and we're going to have this and that and all these things, people are looking at it going like, dude, you're just some guy. You're not going to have shit.
So here's one of the things I've noticed about Kickstarter's evolution over the past like 10 years or 5 years, however long it's been around, is that it has switched over. It used to be people trying to start a new business, like to market a new thing that was going to go into stores afterwards. For this industry, that doesn't really work because your Kickstarter base is also going to be your, more or less, your entire customer base. And once they've bought the product, they're not going to keep supporting you. They don't care if your product gets into stores or not. So what you want to do is offer them the one product, let them buy that through the pre-order model that Kickstarter is now, and then when you have a new product ready, kickstart it again. That's what everyone does at this point.
Yeah.
Like, look at that Bones series of miniatures being made by whatever company.
Reaper.
Like, sure, you can find them in stores, but for the most part, people buy them in the Kickstarter because they get the huge discounts.
Yep.
And then they just wait for the next Kickstarter.
Yeah. I mean, having a very basic, like, here's how you'll get, like, PDF, here's the level where you get it printed out, and here's a level where you can get a credit for, like, someone who supported me.
Yeah,
and other than that,
first time.
That's basically all you need.
Yeah, just treat it like a simple pre-order service. Don't, Lord knows, do not start offering t-shirts and stuff that's got your name printed on it, because it turns out that you are a game author, you are not a manufacturer of t-shirts, and that shit turns into a nightmare for people.
Oh, yeah.
It's the major thing that's going to kill you if you're the sort of person who's already got a game written and ready to go and not just an idea.
Like, mm-hmm.
if your game is ready and rumbling, then what's going to bring you down instead of, you know, the same thing that's bringing down Far West, which is that Skarka is not writing the goddamn book, is that you can't do those side things because you've promised the moon and you don't actually have the money.
Yeah, you keep going, well, you know, if I raise enough money, it would cost me this much to do this and this much to do that. Problem is, even if it costs that much, the amount of time it will then add on to whatever your project is just going to grow and grow and grow. And especially, like, certain businesses are like, yeah, we already are established that we have all of these industry contacts, but if you're just some guy and you're like, I'm going to make a whole bunch of models for you. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're going to try and get a hold of someone to do that.
That said, a role-playing game based on Oscar Wilde plays sounds amazing.
Yeah. So all you need to do is just try and sell that. Don't make a super long video that's like, oh, hey, didn't see you there. Come along with me on a magical journey.
Can he at least have one where he tries to play a traditional role-playing game and like hurts himself with it? There's got to be a better game. Well, there is. And then it's like that slap chop guy.
Yeah.
In fact, do that. That's our big piece of advice. Make a fake infomercial for your thing, and then make your extras just simple like adventures and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So, John, you got the next one.
Yeah. Okay. From Swick08. Dear Ask This Old House, our basement is too moist. We have a dehumidifier, but the basement hovers at about 50% humidity. Consequently, Black pudding has started to grow on the moist walls of the basement. We hacked and slashed at the pudding. Needless to say, it was a huge mistake. For the time being, we have been feeding them hot dogs to appease our pudding overlords. What steps should we take to defeat the black puddings and ensure that they never return? Would fungicide paint work on the pudding? By the way, Tom Silva and Roger Cook are our favorite contractors, and we hope they could answer our questions. Thank you, the concerned basement dwellers, Click and Clack, the Cobalt Brothers. P.S. If the fungicide paint doesn't work on the basement walls, could we use it to combat foot fungus?
John, do you have any idea who Tom Silva or Roger Cook are?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right, well,
I guess... Yeah, there we go. Now, knowing that, I'm going to say what you want to use is fire and alcohol.
Oi, I'm Tom Silva, I am.
I'm trying. I don't know who these people are.
Yar, I be Roger Cook. From the Cook Islands.
What you need to do, mate, is bash your head in. Swear on me, mum.
Yeah, just fire. Fire and alcohol. Lots of it.
Fire and alcohol. Just actually, if you could just get a nice alcohol solution and you just fill the basement with it.
Yeah, or, you know, if you can, get some alchemist's fire.
What you need to do is salt the very earth.
Burn it down and leave town. Start anew.
Nothing less than a limited wish spell shall do. Let's see. Will fungicide paint work on black puddings? Well, I don't think puddings are a fungus. I think they're technically a slime mold or a rhizome. So probably not, although you could probably get away with a simple pesticide.
But fungicide paint on your feet could probably combat foot fungus.
Also, it could replace shoes. I mean, if your feet are just solid black, then no one's going to notice down there that you're not wearing fancy work shoes.
Yeah, of course. They'll just think you're wearing those toad shoes that are ridiculous.
Or they'll just see black down there and be like, oh, that guy's wearing fancy shoes. I understand. No problem. Moving on. That's perfect for if you need to do a business meeting.
Perfect.
Yeah, you need to do a business meeting. That's fine. You just take a regular coat and give it a big collar like a fancy suit coat would be. Wear some jeans, but use a white Sharpie to draw a pleat on there so that people can tell that you totally do have them folded correctly, and then paint your feet black. You are good to go for that job interview.
You are now ready.
Remember, if you cry for more than 5 minutes, you are guaranteed to get that job.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. So fungicide foot paint, it sounds good to me. Let's see. How much time we got left? I think we got time for one more, John.
All right. What do we want
to
do?
I'm going to go to this one right here.
It's your choice.
I'm taking it. I'm going to go with the one from Dave B.
Dave B.
And he has sent us a lot of questions. He's been listening for a long time, and he just started sending in questions. So he sent in like 50. So I picked one, and we'll get to the rest of them later. Dear Stan Lee, why did you allow the X-Men movie franchise to completely butcher the Dark Phoenix story arc from the comics? You could have milked that for at least 2 movies, and it would have been amazing. When can we expect a reboot to fix this problem? Seriously, you need to cast me as Gladiator. I would rock the blue mohawk. Sincerely, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well, first off, Stan Lee has nothing to do with what movies get made.
I think he's in those movies anyway. I'm pretty sure he's in the X-Men movies for the most part.
Yeah.
I don't watch them.
He's in all of the Marvel movies. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I'm putting the blame for this on the person it should go on, which is Bryan Singer.
Yeah. Bryan Singer needs to get his shit together.
Well, he just needs
and by
to get
that,
out
I mean
movies.
He needs to get his shit together and get out of my office.
Yeah. He just needs to stop making X-Men movies. He's been making X-Men movies for 17 years. And granted, when he took a break, everything got way worse.
Yeah.
Because that was X-Men 3.
That was fucking the Rush Hour guy who did that. Fucking
Finch? No, it wasn't Finch.
Brett Ratner.
Brett Favre, yeah.
Yeah, Brett Favre.
Brett Favre made that X-Men 3. The thing is, that means it's both of them because that's where the Dark Phoenix arc plays out. It starts in 2 because they do the Dark Phoenix hint at the very end of 2.
And then 3 just is a giant shit pile.
2 is like the only literally good X-Men movie so far. Out of 17 years of X-Men movies, 2 is the good one.
Hey, lots of people like that Days of Future Past.
Yeah, I do not.
I know you don't.
Because it introduces 50 new characters, kills them all off quietly, while yet another boring conversation between Magneto and Mystique plays out. Again. Again. And for 17 years, it's been, Magneto is like, I am nice to all these humans. Oh no, they've wronged me. I'm mean to all these humans. I'm Mystique. I shouldn't be a main character, but I'm inadvertently played by a famous person.
I accidentally got played by famous people, and now they're famous.
So I'm going to not be in my shapeshifty form, and I'm just going to have a conversation with Magneto. Meanwhile, Wolverine for like 10 minutes.
Meanwhile, Wolverine.
Hard pass.
See, now, if they had actually gone with, hey, what do we got here? We got fucking a new team. We got some Blink. We got some Sunspot.
Yeah, they got doing like some war path and shit happening back there.
That would be great.
Yeah, but instead they just kill them all off as background material while we have yet another conversation with Magneto.
If you just gave me the Exiles movie, then I would be happy.
Yeah, I'd also be okay with a Runaways movie, but they'd ruin it because they just have another conversation between Magneto and Mystique.
Give me the Runaways on Netflix. Give me an Exiles movie. Give me or both so, on Netflix. I don't care.
So the real answer is Brian Singer. Stop it with the black leather. Let the characters wear their goddamn costumes. Stan Lee, you've recorded like 8 movies in advance now because you're probably going to die real soon. You keep doing what you're doing, buddy. You're just fine. Although quit stealing credit for things. Let Ditko have some of that credit. You know he did most of your work. Half the shit you claim to have invented, you were just smoking a J during instead.
Yeah, when fucking Ditka showed up and he was like, the Bears. And then you took credit for it.
I invented the Bears. I'm Stan Lee.
Excelsior.
So I was smoking a joint with wait, I'm Stan Lee.
Hold on.
No, you can't. So basically, that's the problem with the Dark Phoenix arc is it took place in Brian Singer's universe, which is, here's 17 characters and 2 of them that matter. We still could have an amazing Dark Phoenix arc. So Sophie Turner would do just fine as the Phoenix.
I mean, I would love something like a Phoenix arc, if only because if they actually did it the way it was, you could be like, here's a whole bunch of crazy nonsense bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Here's
and
the
have
Shi'ar.
Fun with it.
Yeah, that would be legitimately good. I would very much enjoy that. I keep waiting for them to announce that universe is finally going to be allowed to die and they're going to reboot the X-Men for real. Like literally no character, like no Hugh Jackman, no Peter, no McAvoy, none of that.
No,
Just brand new, all new X-Men.
Yeah, just the all new,
all
different X-Men.
All singing and dancing.
All singing, all dancing, man. All nude.
Wait, hang on. How would you like to see an all singing, all dancing X-Men movie? X-Men musical.
I don't know that I would. I'm pretty sure that would turn out like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles musical.
Okay, but the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles musical wasn't a movie. I mean, wait, which Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles musical?
I'm talking about the stage musical.
I was going to say, the one where they all wear jean jackets so that they don't have to wear shells?
Yes.
Okay, because...
That is what I am talking
about.
From
the early 90s and they showed up on Oprah and they sang about tooth decay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's... I don't feel like that's what the X-Men musical would be.
But I have the fear. I have the fear and the loathing.
I feel like it's going to be more like a Moulin Rouge sort of situation where they're singing pop songs... And they're shooting laser beams at each other.
Laser beams.
Just like how, you know, just like Moulin Rouge.
You know, just like Moulin Rouge.
Just like Bart. So, okay. PPPS. I skipped a few of his PSs. PPPS. I played in Shane's 40K League at Game Empire between 2011 and 2014 when I was stationed in San Diego. It was good nostalgia hearing you talk about Russ's orcs and Wolf Lord Pat during your previous podcasts. Okay, so one of his questions was about Tyranids. So, Dave, are you the guy... And you just email me here. Are you the guy who had the Hive Tyrant with the see-through plastic wings? Because I'm trying to remember which Tyranid... Because I was a Tyranid guy.
Well, we had like 4 Tyranid dudes.
I was Tyranid... It was also Tyranid Pat. That was like, Tyranid Pat and Wolflord Pat were 2 guys.
Yeah.
And then you had... I was Tyranid Jeff. I was the one with the brown and red ones. Mm-hmm. And then there was I think it was Dave who was the guy who had the Hive Tyrant with the plastic wings. And that's how I remember people from my 40K era is what their armies were.
I was going to say, I remember we had the full metallic Nids.
Oh, that's right. That guy was. And then what's his face? George also had some Tyranids. He had the.
Yeah, he had the Gene Stealers.
So there were a few Tyranid players, but I feel like the only one I can't identify was that's probably this guy.
Nah.
Who knows? Anyway, if you liked Russ's orcs, guess what? I painted them. That's me. I'm the guy who painted Russ's stupid orcs.
Yep.
That's how you'd know me, the guy who painted that fucking orc battle wagon that was half Eldar spaceship. All right, so I think that's probably going to be all that we have time for today.
Yeah, we still got plenty of questions, but man, we just ran out of time.
Yeah, yeah, we just talked way too long about way too little of information.
That's true. That's what we do here.
So again, congratulations to the winner of Immortal, The Invisible War.
Yeah, Will Coburn, you will be getting that shortly.
Yeah, we'll get in contact with you, and then we'll mail it out. Otherwise, folks, if you like what you're listening to, I am amazed. So
that's weird.
Stick around. We got our System Mastery Show where we watch. Wait, that's our Movie Mastery Show.
Yeah, we got our System Mastery Show coming up right now.
What we do is we watch a bad movie and then we review an old role-playing game.
And then we answer your questions about it. That's what we do.
Thoroughly unrelated, of course. We watch an old role-playing game to see if it's alive.
Poke at it a little.
And then we don't read it. And we review it anyway.
Yep.
All right. So, as always, this has been the Afterthought Podcast. You can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com for our System Mastery shows, where we read and review old role-playing games, our Movie Mastery show, where we watch and review old movies, and let's see, our bonus content, which you can get by supporting us on Patreon.
And go ahead and go to the SystemMasteryPodcast.com. Go to the movie podcast in theaters now. Be sure to vote for what we're going to watch this month. We've got a neck-and-neck race right now in the lead, so every vote matters.
It's between what? Underworld
and... Underworld and Triple X.
Oh, God, I want Triple X so bad, but I don't want people to take what I... Strike that from the record, folks.
The problem is, I want Split real bad, but no one knows what it is.
Yeah, no one's going to vote for Split.
James McAvoy in a Split personality movie that has to be probably the most offensive thing I've seen a trailer for.
Look, if it was James McLemore, I would be on board and I would watch that movie with
yes,
you.
Yes, James McLemore is a Split personality.
Yeah, but what I want is that Triple X, man. I want to watch that dumbass, that thick-voiced dumbass snowboard through a jungle.
Oh, man, I'd probably be able to follow that more than I would be able to follow the next Underworld movie, because I have no idea what's going on in there.
I know. I would also be okay if Underworld won. That's why I'm not really encouraging people to vote one way or the other, because that Underworld movie is going to be shenanigans. How much
just
Underworld,
wall-to-wall nonsense.
How much Underworld have you seen?
I've seen the first movie, and I think the second movie?
I think I've seen the first half of the first movie.
I saw the first movie, and then I think I saw some of Rise of the Lycans.
And I literally have no idea how far along we are. Is this the 7th one or the 23rd? I have no idea.
I have no idea what's going on.
They gotta put the numbers on these things. No one's following them as closely as you think, except for the guy who makes them and his wife, Kate Beckinsale.
Yep.
So that's, I don't know. Whichever way, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, so just vote on that. We'll get that scene, but we've got our regular movie one coming up this week.
Yeah, we sure do. We're gonna watch a regular old bad VHS or something movie.
Yep,
and come back with a report for you, the listener. Otherwise, thanks so much for listening. You guys all know all the places to find us. You got your Reddits and Facebooks and Gmails and Twitters and what have you. All of those are System Mastery. Reach out to us. Send us your questions. Send us your thoughts and ideas.
Your feelings
and your money and your safety deposit box keys.
Your social security numbers.
Treasure maps. Ancient mysterious eggs.
Yes, please. Please, your old eggs.
And also, don't forget to encourage John to read old Star Wars novels.
Don't do it.
And review them on a new podcast with me, where we review old Star Wars Expanded Universe books. I only need us to do the one, but if you want us to do a whole bunch more, encourage John. Just let John know. He needs to hear your love.
Boo.
Tell him how much he's wrong, folks. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good week.